Hey, Prince Albert Pronouncers, welcome back to the podcast. We've got Mr. Stephen Farrig out of Campus Inc. I'm Bruce from Inktavo. Real quick before we jump into this episode, this was a little different, but I think it was fun because I had some other things banked up that I wanted to be able to share, some things that could help that just jogs the mind that makes you think a little bit differently on stuff. So
jogs the mind.
I was like, I feel like there was somebody was saying that we don't like sit enough and just stare at the wall. And I was like, yeah, I think you're probably right. Like when was the last time you just like sat for 20 minutes and not did it or gone on a walk without your AirPods or something, you know? And just thought I feel like that happens in the shower a lot. And I get a lot of like thoughts there, but then, you know, you go until you go to sleep again.
I just imagine Bruce just staring at the wall. That's funny.
Just in the corner.
Yeah. With the dunce hat on. It's like, what are you doing?
Shh, I'm thinking. First up is GraphX Source. If you need a solution to help improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, they have industry-leading outsourcing options to help your shop truly become a part of your team. Can you just say like more specific? I know we've got this, but like really specifically, what do you use GraphX Source for in your shop?
Yeah, so we have two dedicated artists and people on staff. One is doing all of our art, so mock-up, separation, vectoring, digitizing. They plug and play with Printavo, so they're a user on our team. And we talk to them on Skype all day, and they're basically our art department. Other side is back office, so building online stores, closing stores, SKUing, cataloging, being in Shopify, just having another person on the team, and they are awesome. So thanks so much to Nick Wood, Lucas, Brent, the Graphic Source team. Tell them you got this from the pod, and you get 50% off your first vector SEP order. Yeah, I think that's it.
Easy way. All right. So obviously, you know that you shouldn't be spending all day cleaning dirty screens. And of course, you know that Easy Way's line of environmentally conscious chemicals will get the job done faster, more efficiently, and a cost of the fraction per screen. All right. We've talked about that. You guys know that. But most importantly, Easy Way is a company that you can reach out to. That not only when you buy your chemicals through one of their 100 plus distributors, they're going to be helpful right there to be able to debug issues, best practices, how to's, things like that. They are more than willing to help. Alex and the crew there are awesome to be able to text, call, reach out to be able to support you in your shop. So Easy Way, it's the easiest way.
Bruce, you saw Multicraft Daddy over the weekend?
I did. He was cruising around doing his thing.
You got a little gift from him there?
I did. I got to open it up. I'm excited. He actually said that people would say, hey, are you the Multicraft? I'm looking for Multicraft Daddy.
I'm so thankful that he took some good person's advice and made his Instagram that handle.
The weirdest, but acceptable experience, he said.
If you need ink supplies or data, you hit up Multicraft. More importantly, they are building a new facility in Illinois that's going to be a showroom. It's going to be used for education. There's going to be presses in there. There's going to be tons of stuff. And we're still trying to figure out the name. I've got Daddy Shack, but I don't think that's going to fly. But we're super pumped for the team at Multicraft. And if you need anything, hit up Multicraft_daddy.
Screen printing digital supplies for over 50 years. Top brands at competitive prices. Yeah, definitely mention Printavo Pod. They get you a discount. That will be helpful. All right. And then last but not least, Supacolor. So something new for shops just came out. We actually recorded with the founders and president, Mike and Rum, which that episode should be dropping soon. But Supacolor's got an all new and improved heat transfer, the V2. I keep calling it V2. They call it next gen. This second iteration, though, has three huge enhancements for every production facility. I even tested it, which was kind of cool at the show.
With your crappy heat press, right?
No, I was using a proper heat press at the show, but you're right. I should test it on a crappy heat press, and here's why. They literally bought and have tons of heat presses of varying quality in their facility now that they use to test this new V2 on. And so now what it does is it's so much easier to peel. It's not a lot more compatible with many more heat presses to give you that perfect peel and print. The colors are more vibrant on the darks and lights for your customers, which is really cool. But it's just overall faster. So it's a lot more less time spending futzing around.
They had it running on the Stampinator this weekend.
Yeah, they did a nuts. Contest, actually.
They had it running on a Stampinator and peeling. So if you've used Supercolor in the past, their new transfer is killer. And you should absolutely give them a call and a try. And is there still a discount?
Maybe. Yeah, Printavo 15 for 15% off. We just got it re-added because I know it expired. So this is re-added so you can use it again this year.
We should ask Ram how many people use it. That's cool.
Just like me and you.
Hamish.
And so, yeah, make sure to check it out. All their new orders are on this next-gen version now. So you could be able to check them out. If you had an issue, check it out. If you love it, keep checking it out. And thanks for listening. Yeah. All right, let's jump into the episode. Do you get the Screen Printing Mag newsletter emails?
I do. Every week they send them out and there's good stuff in there. Shout out to Screen Printing Mag.
Yeah, it is. They have done a really good job. I don't know if this is, I think this is like Adrian Palmer's been doing a really good job and Lou Armstrong's been doing a great job. And I'm sure there's a lot of other folks behind the scenes. Those are just the...
Yeah,
I mean,
we got back from the trade show and they already had like a wrap up for the show talking about all the stuff that happened.
I think it's really it's readable. I told Luke with our newsletter, I was like, I think newsletters got to a point in marketing world where they were like an explosion of just regurgitating links elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And instead, you know, how do you take it and make it more editorial and more like written? I know we've talked about the Sahil Bloom Curious Chronicle, which I think is a great sort of life newsletter, but turning it more into an opinion and maybe even polarizing a bit, but less of a link dump and more valuable.
Yeah.
So anyway, shouts out to them. You guys can get it screenprintingmag.com, I believe it is. Did you see the Bell and Canvas slavery post thing?
I did.
Slave labor post?
I did.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, there is a post that Bell and Canvas put up on their page 5 days ago as of today. This is the 25th. There's recent news of a report that a supplier in our industry is linked to using slave labor to get the cotton. Not all companies are transparent. Slave labor is wrong. We don't do that. We have our products are tested to see the origin with tracing technologies and so on. So I don't know. What was your thoughts when you saw that?
It was pretty bold. But immediately I started thinking like, okay, who is it then? Like that was my first question. Like who's doing it?
Yeah.
Cause there obviously must've been a competitor. And they wanted to be very black and white that it was not them. Did you get any intel on what was going on? I saw some other things in the news happening. What'd you get?
You know, I've only heard rumors of other brands, but I don't have anything substantiated as far as what it is. I do. It is interesting. Cause I didn't know about this, Xinjiang, region of China, which has been linked to slave labor in the past, which obviously is bad. But they, what I do find fascinating is the vertical supply chain of products, where it's very hard to actually trace how things are made as you go back and back and back, right? Because it's like every piece of, whether it's a shirt or it's a piece of equipment or something, is made in a different place. Those products are made in a different place and so on. And it goes almost infinitely back. But there was a ban, which is very interesting, a US-based ban based in June on forced labor that came from that region though too.
Yeah.
So it would be fascinating. Like, A, I don't think a brand, I'd like to think, and maybe I'm just being too positive, I like to think that a brand wouldn't ever purposely do that. Like to know that, oh, okay, it's coming from this region, it's cheaper, let's use this. And it was more of a, this, if it did happen, it happened and they corrected it. And, you know, they were using a supplier that was purchasing it to save costs and so on. So it wasn't necessarily directly. Yeah.
I saw a couple posts out there of some companies saying that they were going to require 100% U.S. cotton in all fabrics. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. So like I'm on the Gildan board of decorators and I actually got to tour how the entire process is made from literally bales of cotton all the way to fabrication and all the way to delivery actually to the customer. And so a company like Gildan controls the supply chain literally from cotton all the way down. But then there's other companies that source that fabric or source that yarn from other parts of the world. And it actually got me thinking a little bit. So we're doing a lot of licensed merchandise and we actually have to do a ton of social responsibility, like planning and putting a bunch of paperwork and just making sure that we're doing everything correctly. And I now I'm like starting to just check to just be like, hey, you know, if I'm ordering something from overseas, like, do you have the proper, I think there's like a company called Sumera that like, there's like some paperwork and stuff that you can get. Mm-hmm. And now I've been asking about it because the last thing we want to be doing is putting out a jersey or something and something like that traces back by pure, just like, I didn't know, you know, but it definitely catches up to you quickly and you don't think about it. It'd be interesting to ask, like Jeffrey Paul, who travels overseas quite a bit, because I think there definitely is like a right way of it. And there's definitely a wrong way, of it done in those kind of countries.
Yeah, we'll have to get them on. There's an article that I had just that explains it a little bit more to help understand. So essentially, there is a minority in this region called Uyghur. It's Uyghur. And that specific region is always accused of forced labor. There's about 500,000 minority workers a year there that are brought in to do seasonal cotton picking, which gets shipped out. And though blended with other areas that produce cotton as well. And also, did you know that this Xinjiang cotton from the total area accounts for 85% of Chinese production and 20% of the world supply of cotton? Wow. So essentially, their point is that it's almost impossible to trace back to the Uyghur region. Just because China produces so much of the cotton in it, what happens is it gets mixed in with the other regions anyway. Wow. So yeah, they do try to look at like certifications like that, and I guess that's a help. But you know, there's been accusations of Nike, H&M, and others that have cotton that's been sourced from there. So not great. But just wanted to get your thoughts. Thought that was interesting that I think Bella posted that, which probably is smart just to get ahead of. And I know they do run a lot more of their production in-house in LA and then in Central America.
Yep.
Maybe it's South America, but anyway. Yeah. So, the other thing I wanted to show you is go to, roboflow.com, roboflow.com. So this is a really cool, I wanted to brainstorm something with you real quick. This is a really cool technology that I stumbled on that is computer vision. So I know there's a lot of AI talk and stuff like that, but this is totally based on computer vision. And what it's doing is essentially they've built a model or like a library that you can use to identify objects in videos that are moving around. Huh. So, you know, sports, you can see the video here. They're looking at like players and identifying the names. There's a warehouse and there's pallets and they're picking up the pallets to say how many pallets there are. If it's a drone, it can identify maybe pools in the area, like swimming pools for whatever reason. I can identify potholes as you're driving. So anyway, all these types of computer vision models. My question though, and why it relates here, is there any applications that you could see that it could help shops. Like,
this is sick.
Could it be on top of a press and it sees like shirts going onto a piece of equipment, or shirts coming off to a dryer, or shirts coming out of a dryer, and identify and see? And then I don't know about quality. Like, I don't know about QA. Like, if I can identify patterns that are outside the norm, like, oh wow, this shirt looks slightly different here than it does here. But I don't think it's going to see a pinhole.
So I went to the page, I went to pricing first to check it out. And then I went to solutions and I clicked on manufacturing. And there's things that's like defect detection, infrared imagery, and aerial imagery. And you see like boxes going across a conveyor belt. You see cars going through, like, you know, on the assembly line. It even has a picture of a gauge, like a pressure gauge. And so it's reading pressures. And then there's like a bearing thing spinning around and production lines below. I mean, I think like in its simplest sense, like, could you put it at the end of your dryer to just see how many shirts spit through per hour?
And that's what I thought the obvious one was. I was curious, like, does it go further? Like, is there value in seeing, you know, maybe screens, you know, being used screens in inventory of different mesh counts?
Do you connect this inks, to your iPhone or what?
So I started toying with it and I started reading the docs. You basically can connect it to a camera and the camera feeds a video, and then the library, you train it essentially. You identify to say, all right, this gauge or something is what we're identifying as the primary object, and then look for these.
And then it just looks for that pattern over and over again whenever it tracks it.
Yeah. I'm not sure of the more intelligent aspect afterwards, but
what is this company?
Pretty cool, right?
Is this
So I put it on my list as a weekend that to see what it could do and to get
it
a
even
camera.
Has like parking spots to show how many parking spots are over if you use like over an overhead camera in like a parking lot.
Right. And I think these technologies have been out there, but they've never been opened to allow for a library like that. They're always proprietary in a company.
I mean, even just simple counters. I'm curious, like, if you stacked up shirts or something, or if a shirt was going on a press and you could see that every single time.
Yeah, the dream is to auto check in, but I don't know how it could see through, you know, a stack of hoodies or something like that.
It'd be cool,
let
to
alone
just,
the
like,
quality.
Hack through this.
Unless all of the shirts somehow went on a conveyor and that the camera looked at it and maybe it could go very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, like a TSA check-in, right? Like, what if, you know, somebody laid out all those shirts, or somehow it detangled them all or laid them all out and it went through a quick conveyor, very quick, counts them, potentially looks for defects.
I wonder if you could put it on the inside of your dryer. If it was like heat, if it could handle heat. I'm just starting to think of like all the different applications of like monitoring. I mean, that's what a Tesla does, right? It's got cameras that are just mapping out the world in front of it.
It's the same thing again. It's just like, this finally allows people to toy around with this stuff. Whereas before, you know, you had to build this in-house to get the technology and then commercialize it.
I think while we're on the topic, do you want to talk about AI? So I've seen so much of it lately from like the tech side, from the art side. Do you want to give some background on OpenAI and Sam Altman? You might know a little bit more.
Yeah. The little, to be honest, that I'll know is that OpenAI sort of open sourced the model around what's a technology or a modeling thing called GPT-3, which is this newer model of language and words that I'm sure you've heard on the news, that it takes all together and then it learns from the words as far as to be able to categorize everything and then be able to spit back answers to you. But the thing that's the big aspect of this is that they essentially made a model that was like almost 10 times more powerful than the previous models that was done before. So the model is has 10 times more data. They basically collected data from places like you know, all of Google, Wikipedia, you know, all these sources. I'd have to look up the exact ones. I could pull it up But anyway, it's fascinating because you could go to, if you search OpenAI ChatGPT-3, it takes you to chat.openai.com/chat. You can log in and be able to ask it questions. You know, and I'm sure everyone's seen this on the web. For example, we were looking at like a team outing for people in Chicago, and I would say, what are the top three places to go for a group of 15 in Chicago? And it can suggest some ideas. It feels like a little bit of a, like a novelty trick still, but it's way more natural than it ever has been before.
So what's interesting about it is it was started in 2015. Elon Musk was actually on the original board to work on it, with a bunch of like Y Combinator guys, Peter Thiel, Reid Hoffman. And then Elon stepped off the board in 2018, because it conflicted with Tesla's AI. Hilarious. But I've started to see a lot of, apps spinning up, whether they're like artwork apps or like marketing apps. Canva like installed it, I think. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a, like an ecosystem of applications. We have tried doing it with a little bit of art. So part of OpenAI is called DALL-E. And I guess it's this framework in the same way that you can tell it to design something for you. You could say like, take, you know, this person and put him in a snowy background with a basketball court and it'll design it for you, or it'll turn you into avatars. I'm just curious to when it starts to get like, when everyone knows that it looks exactly the same, you know, like when is the trick over and you're like, oh, that's OpenAI or whatever. That's this or that.
So
right?
I have another, add on here on the art, and, Chris, if you could pop this up, I'm going to link to it in the docs.
I sent you my avatars, Bruce. They're not good.
I'll take a look. Oh, I didn't get it yet. So at the impressions booth, the Rock exhibit in the atrium, they used AI to generate this art. Now they did some obviously manual manipulation after, but they used AI to make it to be so realistic. Where it looks like it's it looks like, you remember seeing the Rock hoodie where it looked like it was stitches and it was looked like it was peeling off a little bit. Yeah. And so Josh at Liquid Graphics said that they use AI to create the initial, and then they added a couple filters and things to go from there. So pretty powerful. It was unbelievably realistic.
So do you
realistic.
Think that's like copyright? Like, do you think that's not original? Like, how do, you know, original artists look at that, right? Like, isn't it attacking what an artist is able to do?
I'd like to think of it as a tool that enhances an artist's capabilities. So it's like another tool in the tool set, right? We've had guests in here that the raw art form is unbelievable, and that's part of their competitive advantage. I think there's artists that absolutely could say, wow, if I could use this sort of pre-created template or AI model to help me generate art for a customer quickly, then shoot, if that gets me 80% of the way, great. That's really cool too. How do you create? So how do you use DALL-E? Like, what is the one that you're using?
So like Lenza was one, or Lanza.
How do you spell that?
Oh, geez.
Lenza. Oh, I see. LENSAAI. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Wonder was another one. And with one of them, you have to upload like 10 to 15 images of yourself, for it to generate like all the avatars. Mm-hmm. And I think with Wonder, you could give it a scene and just kind of type it out, and it would do it for you. So I think what's cool though is like, how does a company like Photoshop, or Adobe, right? What are they thinking right now? Right. Cause, they came out with the original AI. but like, I wonder if the tools for artists are going to get easier, whether it's like separations or whether it's like, hey, turn this, you know, like quickly flip this. And really, like, if you think about it, Instagram is the company that really made quick photo editing a breeze on your phone. So it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of years. I hope screen printers use it. I don't see why not. I think it'd be kind of cool.
All right, I got another one for you. So, and you've probably heard of this, copy.ai.
Okay.
So, for folks where so we talk a lot about a shop, you know, as a shop, you need to do a lot of things on the marketing side and consistently over time, right? Number one is sending out some sort of newsletter that's high quality. It's what you're doing lately. It's very personable, keeps people engaged, and it reminds them of you. So you're a friend of mine. Okay. So the next thing is blog posts, right? How do you get good SEO? If you're a shop in Nashville, how are you ranking top one or two for Nashville custom t-shirts or Nashville screen printing or Nashville embroidery, right? Or some of these other long tail keywords, Nashville, company swag ideas, right? There's other things like social posts. What do I write for a caption, right? Some of these things get a little bit tricky over time and to want to keep it fresh. There are two really cool tools. One is called Copy, copy.ai, that helps you do this using this model that we talked about, this Chat GPT 3 model. So essentially you sign up, you tell them the type of stuff that you want to write for, and you give them your website. It pulls images down, it pulls like how you write down, and then it starts to create the article for you. It creates the outline, it starts writing it for you, and then you could copy it and you know, make it you and make it yours. So you know, for emails, again, blog posts, website copy, if you're writing that out, it helps get it going. That's a little bit.
Can you explain the word long tail? Like I'm five.
So, okay. So I'm going to share it for Printavo's example, cause that's where I spent obviously most of the time. So, when we think about SEO at Printavo, we want to be able to hit all the keywords that people are searching for. So for example, screen printing, shop management software, right? That is a long tail keyword where I don't know what the limit is of characters, but it's a longer, very specific grouping of keywords together that somebody may be searching to come to you. There's not a lot of search volume for these types of keywords, but they could be very relatable to your business. Another example for us could be, that's not 100% relatable, but something we look at is like screen printing pricing matrix, right? Very specific. If you are looking for that keyword, you're going to be in this space and we care about you and want to start to get into touch and get in, you know, have you know about Printavo and Inktavo. So targeting those long tail keywords allows you to get the scraps that other people tend to ignore. Have you ever actually looked at those for Campus Inc, by the way?
Don't look at them. They're not good. So I don't know if you know this, but I use, when we're talking about our marketing team, we pull up the Alexa rank for Printavo. So Printavo is actually ranked as like a website, and you can look this up on websites like SimilarWeb or something like that. What do you think Printavo is ranked globally for websites?
I was running a small shop. We had trouble being able to keep track of everything. QuickBooks, Google Calendar, PayPal, email, whiteboards, nothing talked to each other. It was complicated. I wanted to be able to have an easy to use system to be able to keep track of their orders from quote all the way to shipping and pickup. That's what Printavo does. It's cloud-based. You can add your whole team to it and you can give it a free trial. So click the link down below. You can actually sign up, go through a demo and see if it'll work for your shop. Like at the bottom, because we're in such a niche.
So you guys are ranked 56,000th in the world. It's pretty insane.
That's actually a lot higher than I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe because there's so much like junk out there.
In the country, you're 11,000th. In the category, you're 12th.
What is the category?
Printing and publishing, business and consumer services, and similar sites are Supacolor and screenprinting.com and Anthem Printing. Huh? Interesting.
I've seen them. They've actually done a good job of SEO because I've seen them come up in relevant keywords.
We're like 7 million. Yeah. Just to put that into perspective, which isn't great, but we need to work on it. But that's why Printavo is so content heavy, right? Like everyone's, you know, there is a rhyme to the reason. And it's also about consistency. You've been doing it for as long as you, since as long as I've known you, you've been writing a blog or posting content a couple times a week, right? Didn't you do an exercise like for a little bit?
Hiring you to write blogs.
Didn't you do an exercise? I think I remember you saying like you got yourself to like write a blog once a day or like post a 10 minute video or 1 minute video every day.
When was that? It was hard. So the whole thing with this, like, you know, marketing content stuff if you feel that it could be helpful, which I absolutely think it does. It's just obviously takes a year or two to really be able to get the momentum going. But what I'll say is that to force it, I actually just set a calendar invite on my calendar, like an event on my calendar for, I think it was 45 minutes or so every single morning. But the key was it's the first thing in the morning, right? Because if you do anything else, I guarantee you're not going to come back to this. So the first thing in the morning, you get in, you record the video, maybe do 15 minutes of research or whatever you want to talk about, and then record it on whatever can help. And you know, fortunately, a lot of the business management problems that I was going through are the same things shop owners are going through. And so how do we solve those both problems together? What can I like read or learn about to be able to share some stuff? So anyway, yeah, posted that. And then I wasn't good at writing. Still not the best at like focusing to write. So I'd have, I know Steven, you were writing. I know I had a friend, Jason, I'd pay to write. That was just like
per Adam article. Cook edited our stuff.
Shouts out. Thank you, Adam. Just to write all that stuff, because the SEO of the video plus the written word is like a double boost in Google. So when you search.
Okay. For it, so when you were doing it, you were posting like videos to YouTube. That was your primary, like when you first were starting, right? Now it's so much easier because they're like 15-second TikTok reels. Like everything's short form content now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do see a lot of shops that do pretty good job at that. I mean, we had him on, Dominic at Superior Inc., kind of took it to the next level and said, how do I make a better quality video that really grasps people's attention? I think the trickiest part though, ignoring the quality and all that, is just consistency. Like, can you do this, you know, every week for the next 3 years? And also, is this just a part of the business? Like, when every new hire starts, we have three things that are most important in Printavo: the product and creating really simple, easy to use product, support. So how do we support how do we get really quick responses back, and how do we, you know, call people back as soon as possible and all that? And then education, like how do we be the leader in the space of educational content? But I don't think, if it wasn't a core part of that business, I don't think it would have been impossible to continue it. You know what I mean? Like, what's the reason to do it next week or next week or next week if it's not like who we are?
Do you ever cringe when you see a business that is trying to post content, but it's just awful?
I don't think I've seen it, but I can imagine like ours sucked at first too. Like, I'm sure it took a while to, I have a couple influencer friends that I went to school with. Those, yes, I cringe at, because it's just like,
well, makes okay, me feel like weird, when but. Someone, so like, for instance, when you're making a TikTok these days, you need to add captions, right? Like, there's this whole thing on captions, and you need to use a tool called like CapCut to put the like blingy yellow captions, right? Mm-hmm. And so like what we've learned in the last like year is, like, short form content is about having like a 1 second hook, really quick transitions, and like, you know, having sound effects. And that literally is it. You know, so it doesn't even need to be this long drawn out thing. And even for me, like, I'm not good at making them. It's past me. So I have the youngest person on our team making them. And I kind of told her, I was like, I don't care what you're doing. Like, just if you feel inclined to post about it and it's something cool that's happening in the office, like someone brought in breakfast, cool. It's entertaining. You know, it gives an inside look at the business. So I don't know. I think the content world is changing. I feel like it's changed in the last year and a half. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think it's always evolving with the platforms that are available, right? TikTok wasn't a thing maybe 5-something years ago. Shopify and e-commerce probably wasn't as prevalent, you know, for shops to learn about and be good at. So, all right, I got another one that I want to share with you that I thought cool. Was really cool. So there's this email, I'm going to send you a screenshot from Family Industries. They sent this email out, and maybe Chris, I'm going to give you the screenshot too, so you can pop this up and the link. actually, maybe I won't share the link because I don't want it to get blown up. But essentially what they did is they sent their customers if some sort of like revenue clip or people that they've identified as close friends, this email that was a holiday gift giveaway. And it sent out and it basically said, if you're getting this email, that means you're very special to us here at Family Industries. We put some brand new merch together to send as a thank you for an amazing year. It's free. Go ahead and pick your favorite items. And it was literally like this, it looks like a Squarespace type of site. You type in your name, your shipping address, and then you go across to the next page. And here, I'll text you a link so you can see this. And then you pick items. So it could be socks, it's a beanie, it's a cool little tote bag that they made. And then I just thought it was special. Like I thought it was a nice touch to, you know, to again, how do you keep your company top of mind and keep that personal bond strong, right? Because anybody can, let's be honest, like anybody can help fulfill a job for somebody, but it's really that personal connection, that strong and attachment that I have. And so, yeah, I thought that was really neat.
I think what's really cool about this, and hats off to the guys at Family for doing this, I think they've done it a couple of years in the past. They're almost like they don't really care who it's going to. They just want to get, they're creating like loyal fans just by asking their customers like, hey, if you like us enough, like here's some free stuff. Mm-hmm. If they sent out, so there's socks on here, there's a beanie and there's like a phone cover wallet thing. Say yeah. They shipped out like 1,000 of them and that whole spend was $10,000 to $15,000 in gifts. I wonder what the ROI on it. And I wonder if they looked at their customers that requested it and how much those customers spend. I bet you it's fractions of it, you know? I think it's like these special touches companies, you don't see them doing. There's another company called like Easy Llama. They're like a learning software. And mm-hmm. I literally sat on a demo with them and I got this beautiful box in the mail like 2 days later. And actually, most recently, Multicraft Daddy sent me a laser engraved whiskey bottle. Did you get yours too?
I gotta open this.
Oh,
yeah. I just had time to like settle here, but
yeah,
I gotta open it today.
But I don't know, that stuff, like that hits, right?
It does. Yeah, you know, I think in an age where we all want to optimize and digitally like make things more efficient, measure conversion rates and the data of this and that of that, it creates a vacuum in the sort of old school, more manual way, right? It's like everything shifting over here means that there's really good opportunity back over here again, which is, you know, a nice handwritten note, a nice like thoughtful gift, you know, something like this that's like, hey, I'm thinking about you. So
that's an anti-AI thing. AI does not do that for you.
Yeah. That's true. All right. I got one last thing and then we can wrap. Actually I had two, but one, I don't think I'm ready yet. I was just doing a little bit of research and then I'll bring that up.
Does it rhyme with ETF?
No relation. This was the last tweet. I thought this was interesting. And I hope I didn't mention this before, but basically, there's been times, and you probably remember, where I was like, all right, there's so much going on right now. How do I, like, what am I supposed to be focusing on? Like, what am I supposed to be, like, what do I do? Or like, I have things really well delegated. I'm like, what should I be spending my time on to help most improve this business? There was a tweet that that I'll share in the notes so we can share it on the screen here. The Jason LK at Jason LK is Jason Lemkin. He's a big software entrepreneur. He goes, best things to do when you don't know what to do. Number one, spend time with existing customers. Zoom with 5 more each week. Number two, hire one great leader. Could be VP, could be some sort of, you know, lead person. So, you know, if you don't have the budget to hire, at least spend time to coach, right? And help train them to get to the next level. Number three, drive down churn. You grow faster without more new sales coming in. If you can reduce existing customers from not leaving you and going somewhere else to order. And that's what the word churn is in software world is, you know, somebody ordered from you in the past, but they're not going to order from you a second time. They're going to go somewhere else. Number four, join more sales calls. Everyone loves to talk to the CEO, right? It's like that the CEO or the owner holds a lot of weight. And then number five, focus leads to top reps. So if you have sales reps, the top performing sales reps are converting at a higher clip than the bottom performing ones. And this pays dividends over time. So if you can send more to them and either train and or unfortunately maybe replace or whatever to help be able to get the bottom ones up to the higher conversion, converting or top sales reps, send the leads to them. So anyway, I thought that was cool. Something to always revert to.
So there's a couple things that I took from this just from reading it for the first time that are interesting.
Yeah.
If you notice, none of them are about like working like in the business, right? Like I'm going to fix this, or I'm going to like fold t-shirts. Yeah. It's all outward and customer facing or development of an employee, right? So developing someone that's going to be able to sell more, finding someone that can help you grow the business, talking to your customers, like it's all sales focused. It's mm-hmm. not, and this is coming from a tech founder. None of it in there says go build a feature,
yeah.
Which I thought was super interesting because I feel like we always think, oh, if we have downtime, we'll rebuild the ink wall or something like that.
Right.
I was listening to a podcast last night and they were talking about task management or being able to manage someone by giving them tasks or being able to manage someone by giving them goals. And it was all about like you become more free when you train your people how to handle their tasks based on their goals, not on just checklists.
Mm-hmm.
And it all goes back to like spending time with them. I think when you have free time, you can really move boulders with people because you're really looking for like the things they actually need versus, did you do your job today? You know, I don't know. Have you had some of your best convos? Like if you could think back when you've moved some rocks with employees, when were those times?
Yeah. I mean, they always literally come out of me physically asking what is in your way? Like, what can I help get out? I feel like they don't even really come up unless I'm actually directly focused on that. Like people just tend to absorb what they're doing into their day to day. And so they just accept it like, oh, this is just how it is. Right. So I don't know. For me, those one-on-ones have been really helpful to be able to in your role, are there any boulders? Literally, I have it as my follow-up that are in your way that I can help get out. And then can we revisit this in a month to make sure that, you know, you feel better about it or that your job's easier. And I even tell them, I'm like, you shouldn't be like, you are being paid more than what you should be focusing on this task. Like this task is beneath you. So, I think they kind of start to feel that and like, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, then they start more actively thinking about getting that off too. So
you've been spending a lot of time on Twitter.
I think there and just listening to some other like, business podcasts and stuff too, to pull out from the normal sources that I think could be helpful. I've got some good stuff coming too. I just got to do a little more research.
I'm obviously me and Bruce listen to My First Million a ton, and it's like one of our favorite podcasts. But I've been following the Morning Brew guys, Alex Lieberman, mm-hmm. and he has a podcast called The Crazy Ones, and it's super cool because it goes through CEOs that had, you know, like, it goes through some of their wildest experiences, like when Google bought a company from these guys for $100 million, and it goes through what they were feeling when they were sitting in that boardroom and how, like, and all this stuff. So I just listened to that episode last night. It was super cool. So Alex Lieberman from The Morning Brew.
Nice.
Super good follow.
Love it. All right. Well, thanks for listening, folks. I appreciate your time. Don't forget to hit subscribe. We'll see you guys in the next Printable Pronouncers podcast. All right. Bye.